kwakuwankwamnyako nauvuku naundukufu atamilele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of Radio Harambe, the official podcast of JamboEveryone.com and the unofficial podcast of Disney's Animal Kingdom and Walt Disney World. We do invite you to visit us at JamboEveryone.com for all the information you need on the Animal Kingdom Park. On this show, we will talk about news from the Animal Kingdom and the rest of Walt Disney World. And then in our final segment, we will go shopping with Jamie as we discuss the best shopping locations found at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I am your host, Dave McBride, coming to you from the Radio Harambe Studios. And joining me from somewhere in the world, a man who volunteers for an animatronic dinosaur rescue, it's Safari Mike. Mike, how are you, and where are you calling us from today?
Have you ever heard of Sarawak?
Am I supposed to?
Yeah, of course. Everybody knows where Sarawak is.
He does this on purpose. No, I haven't.
It's in Borneo.
Of course.
We are here studying proboscis monkeys. Do you know what a proboscis monkey is?
It's a small primate?
Not very small. Do you know who Jimmy Durante is?
Yes.
Well, imagine a monkey that looks kind of like Jimmy Durante, a huge nose on the nails.
Now I know who you're talking about.
And we are here studying them. They're highly endangered. They're only found in the mangrove forests of Borneo.
Wow.
So there are not many left. As the mangrove forest disappears, so do the proboscis monkey.
When you say not many, do you mean something like in the hundreds?
No, low thousands.
Okay. And also joining us on today's show, the apparent brains behind the Disney hipster kingdom, it's Jamie. Jamie, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Thanks for joining us.
I don't know about the brains.
Well, you know.
I've seen it in
I like to say brain. Age before beauty because, you know, Andrew's beautiful and so is Adam. So, you know.
Well, let me put it this way. You're the one who came up with the idea, which for our listeners, you should know that we're going to have these each of the hipsters on individually. And it was kind of Jamie's, what would you say? You kind of steered that ship.
Yeah, and I got to pick the topic, so nice. I really tried to pick things that I know that they're either they love or something that they totally hate. So
oh, that's
made
great.
Sure.
That's great. I don't know the topics. I only learn like the day before. So
that's good. Keeps you on your toes.
It does. It does. So
I know.
He knows him because he's a Twitter star.
So I gotta do something when I'm sitting in the beach in Borneo.
That's right. Well, I thought you were in the woods.
I said the mangrove forest. Mangroves grow right on the water there.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
But I wanna say something. So there's not gonna be a quiz at the end of what animal comes from what country or what part of the country or because there's just no way I'm gonna remember all that.
No, no, no. It's important to understand, Jamie. I'm in charge here.
Oh, good.
I would never allow such things.
Good.
I hate that he asks me if I know where, which he does on purpose. He says, do you know where this is? And it's always some big, long name that I have no idea what it could put. Nobody knows what it is but him.
I could just imagine me touring with Mike in Animal Kingdom, and it'd be like, oh, it's this animal. And I'd be like, yeah, it's a cat.
Yeah. Well, that's what he does.
I don't know.
I have to tell you, Keith told me that the next time you guys go down, he's taking his iPod and he's listening to our Maharaja Jungle Trek tour as he walks it.
Cool.
He's doing it.
Maybe we should do another tour for him before you guys go down.
He has said that, so I will be joining him on that, definitely.
Well, let's start with the local news from Disney's Animal Kingdom, and we're going to start off with buoys in the water, folks. We have buoys in the water. Now, this is a rumor that was posted, I believe, Mike, on Screamscape, and then pictures thrown up all over the place.
Yes.
Of red buoys in the water in Animal Kingdom around, we think it's around the Everest area.
That's my understanding. Yeah, it's over by Everest. Okay. In that bigger sort of section of the water where it's wide open.
Okay. Well, we don't know what these are for. Obviously, right. Disney would never tell you. we're assuming that they're for a certain rumor that's been going on.
Yeah. Well, so I know that we Disney hipsters have released back in mid July a nighttime show that we've had a little birdie tell us about, Rivers of Light, which is supposed to be coming. It's kind of like a World of Color kind of thing. So that's what we think it is. But there has been other people who have told us that these buoys have been out before. And I think they're pink. They're pink or they're red?
It's hard to tell from the picture I saw. They're either one.
Yeah, yeah, I think they're pink.
That is color, yeah.
Well, it's important to know what, I mean, it means this, okay? It means something's going to be on the water. Because you would only put these things in the water if somebody not familiar with the water is going to be on it.
True.
Okay, you're not going to put buoys, because these kind of buoys that they have out here and where they are positioned, they look like they're there to mark, you know, maybe a tree stump in the water or something that could be an issue for a passing prop.
Right.
So they wouldn't do that if it was just a, you know, a tour ship, a tour boat, you know, from that Disney's driving, because they can tell the guys, they can tell the drivers where the things are, and they can teach them that stuff. So this has to mean at least that somebody who's not normally on those rivers are going to be on it. That's really all I know.
Think about it. You have these rivers. Nothing's happening. They had the boat rides when, you know, way back when they were awful. And now, you know, you're sitting here and you have all of this water that you could be doing something with. And I personally, Animal Kingdom at night, I think is beautiful. So if I really do hope the rumors show and they have some sort of, you know, nighttime, you know, show that is going to happen on the water.
I mean, the only thing I would add to that, though, is that the reports that I've seen, although you can't really tell from the pictures, they do say there's a platform there, too. Not just buoys,
right,
but a platform.
Yeah, it is hard to see that. I did read that someplace. Yeah.
But World of Color does have platforms in the water as well. So that's why I'm still not thrown off yet.
It could also, I mean, my first thought was that it could mean construction vehicles involved with Avatar, that they might have to do some construction on that, on the river, you know, leading up to it for whatever reason. But it doesn't seem to be that's the right area.
And over there. And if it's World of Color, they would have to, I would think. I mean, if it's going to be something that's really, really just like World of Color, they would have to drain the lagoon and plug in things that are going to spray out the water.
Right.
As opposed to what you guys reported, which is more of barges and projection technology, then you would just need to mark where these things are going to be, and you know the buoys would be sufficient. But a World of Color type of thing with fountains, they'd have to drain the thing.
Did they do that to the World Showcase Lagoon when they put in the stuff for the recent Illuminations?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I'm not sure that they did that. When would they have been able to do that?
No, they built it on a barge, didn't they? Isn't it all on a barge?
Well, then maybe that's what they're going to do here.
See, the World of Color, they have things in the water that sprays out basically the curtains of water so that you can project stuff on. So you'd have to build foundations down there and technology down in the water. You wouldn't have to do that if everything was on a barge.
So, but you're only concluding then that this is not
a copy of
right.
Right.
And
and nobody wants it to be. Everybody right. wants it to be something different. So I'm excited that at least something is happening. Avatar, I don't know. I don't want to get excited about anything. I just kind of shun it from my, you know, mind. I don't want it to actually exist. So I don't.
Alone again.
Every guest you get on here hates Avatar.
It's okay. I'm all right with it. They'll all come on here after it opens and they'll say, you know what, Dave, you were right. It is really pretty cool.
Okay, you wait for that.
I'm gonna. And you're gonna do it. You're gonna be the first one, Jamie. Now, speaking of construction, the only other thing that we really have from the Animal Kingdom is that we're starting now to see over the construction walls in and around Harambe, we're starting to see what we now have confirmed is the Festival of the Lion King Theater going up. We're no longer, Disney is no longer concerned about, you know, hiding these things. We now know why they announced it when they did. Because a week later and it's in full view of everybody. So, you know, we can see, we don't get much out of it. Right, Mike? We just know it's there.
technically.
The only thing, the report that I saw was on the Disney blog. It gave you a little bit of information. There may be some adjacent buildings along the river. Maybe Starbucks? I don't know. And I know they're building...
Maybe a gift shop?
Another bridge, so that the queue... My understanding is the queue and the exit is going to be off this other bridge. So to get you back on Discovery Islands, it won't necessarily be right through where the Tusker House is.
Oh, that's good news. That's good news. Because I didn't want that. So that's good. Excellent.
Another bridge would be nice, though.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So this is a bigger project than we thought.
Seems like it. Seems like there's a lot to it. They said the theater is going to have pretty much the same capacity and be generally the same that is what you saw. I don't think there's going to be really too much difference. But they might be building a little bit more around it.
Right.
Like a gift shop. Maybe that's where they put Starbucks, because they do have to put a Starbucks in the Animal Kingdom sooner or later.
Yeah. Well, you need to make sure it's close to Flights of Wonder, because, they need people to stay awake. So extra shots of espresso.
Oh, boy.
Just saying.
I love that show.
Broadway quality, Jamie. It's Broadway quality.
I wouldn't say that, but I love that show. I have a vision, Jamie, of one day Safari Mike taking over for the... What's the travel guy?
Oh, no, Joe.
Yeah.
Which is basically bird poop, Joe.
Right. That's what I'm waiting for. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Maybe I'll go see it then.
Yes, you will. And finally, for the local news, we would be remiss in the show if we didn't talk about the biggest conservation story probably in the country this year. And that is that just recently at the Smithsonian, a giant panda cub was born. Zookeepers say that the cub is healthy and vibrant. I'm glad, Mike. I hope I'm not throwing you a curveball here, but I wanted to ask you something about this.
Go ahead.
Giant pandas seem to be one of the most difficult animals to breed. And that really came home when you see the pictures of this cub. I mean, it fits inside a guy's hand.
Yeah, they're very difficult. They're very, very difficult to manage in zoos. I know the Smithsonian's had a couple of, I guess, cubs is what they call them. I don't even remember. I think it's cubs.
Yes.
And they all have not made it. They've all died.
There's only one back, and it was born back in 2005. That's made it. He's since gone back to China, but
yeah. So other zoos have had a little bit more success, but it's touch and go. They don't generally do well in captivity.
How sad.
Yo, Jamie, you should see this thing. It could fit. I mean, when you think of the size of a panda, and you think of the size of other, young that are born, how they're proportionally much larger in a lot of instances. This a panda cub comes out literally the size of your hand.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing that it stays alive at all.
I mean, don't post a picture. My kids are going to want one. I can't do that right now.
Dave always makes fun of me for being harping on having the dragon coming to Animal Kingdom, but he harps on this panda. He wants pants desperately at the Animal Kingdom.
I think it'd be awesome. Why not?
We're gonna save that for another show. But that's the one I harp on. That is the one thing that I wish they would do more than anything else, is bring pandas. I mean, but I don't want to get into it too much because maybe they will come up with that topic some other time. But anyway, I just wanted to mention it to you. So that is the end of our local news. And Mike, can we go right into the world news?
Sure.
Throw it out there. Let's go.
All right. So at New Fantasyland, which I know is one of Jamie's favorites, they are a new little kiosk is coming. Prince Eric's Village Market will be located.
What the hell does Prince Eric have to do with health food?
I don't know. But he's selling fruit and, lemonades. You can now buy them right across from Little Mermaid. I think it's right behind where the Snow White Mine Coaster is eventually going to open up as. But you can go get fruit and lemonades now at New Fantasyland.
That makes me think Prince Eric.
I literally have been thinking about this for the last 8 hours, and I have there is no correlation between the two. Why Prince Eric? Why? Are they trying? I mean, I don't know how bad your show can get. I mean, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say it. I mean, is he a fruit? I don't get it. I don't get it. What?
I don't get it either. There's a lot of the new Fantasyland I don't get, however.
So I don't understand. Is he a vegan? Is he on the raw diet because he had too much seafood? I don't understand.
It is a bizarre.
I want the backstory. Somebody needs to give me the backstory on this.
Well, there is no backstory.
No.
There is. There's always a backstory in Fantasyland.
No, not anymore.
There's no backstory in the new Fantasyland.
I'm now fanning myself. There's backstory. There is backstory.
There's no backstory. First of all, they have a castle there that looks like it came off a Lionel train display.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's no thought. And I mean, I think the whole new Fantasyland is absolutely dreadful, to be honest with you. I haven't been. I know there's a new part opening. Maybe the Snow White coaster will save it for me. But this is just another reason for me to think that, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what Prince Eric has to do with health food. I just don't get it.
Zero, nothing. Absolutely zilch.
What else you got, Mike?
Sure. My Magic Plus, the dreaded My Magic Plus is expanding to more resorts. If you're checking into certain resorts between September 3 and October 31st, you can be included in this testing.
Yes.
It's being expanded to Jumbo House, Art of Animation, Beach Club, both resorts and villas, the Poly, and Port Orleans Riverside.
Yeah. So we actually got notification that we are eligible for this. And I don't know if you've seen my husband on Twitter today, but it took him almost 8 hours just to pick a color. So I don't even know how this is going to work. This is going to be... And then he found out it's kind of like those... the clogs things. What do they call them? The water looking shoes.
The Crocs.
Where you get to put like little charms inside of the little holes. You can do the same thing with these bands that you can get, and then you get to pick your fast pass times. I don't understand this whole thing. Like, why are they making it more complicated than it needs to be?
Amen. I feel exactly the same way. I well, Mike just read that. That list of resorts, I'm glad mine didn't come up.
Right.
You know
what they're doing to me? It feels like they're taking away the stop and smell the roses. By all means, I'm going to be an advocate of saying you need to plan if you want to have a Walt Disney World vacation, you want to do it properly. But there's such thing as, and I know this is coming out of my mouth, over planning. To me, this is over planning.
Yes, it is. But the only thing I would say to you is it does help in this aspect. So like when we'll go, and I'll use the Animal Kingdom as an example. So we'll all go to the Animal Kingdom. We will, you know, one of us will take everybody's ticket and go get fast passes to Everest while the rest of us go to Kilimanjaro Safaris. Now I don't have to worry about that anymore. We've already got our Everest booked for 10 o'clock in the morning. It saves a little bit in that regard.
Yeah, but what happens if you get up in the morning and your kid pukes?
You're screwed.
This is what I hate.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm just saying there is that one benefit to it.
I mean, they literally invested how much? $1 billion into this?
Yes.
Is the numbers we're hearing? And this is what we're coming out with?
Yep.
And so far, everything I've heard is that it has not gone as well as they've wanted. I know, for example, the Haunted Mansion, the standby line is longer than it's ever been because, you know, this whole Fast Pass Plus thing.
Oh.
And I don't think it's going as the way they were hoping for.
Shocker.
And you got to remember, it's all scanners. So, you know, when you go up, and there's so many things that can happen on a trip, okay? There's so many things. You can lose your tickets. You know, like you were saying, your kid can puke. You can, you know, get a stomach ache. Whatever. You have a laundry list of things that can happen. And now you have these... How many they give you, I don't even know. I think it's, what, three?
Three, yeah.
Right? So they give you three. So you have your shot of just trying to go within those time frames. I mean, to me, it's just, it's totally ridiculous. Totally, totally, totally ridiculous. There's a zillion different things that can happen to a family on a vacation. And now you're picking it out, you know, weeks or months ahead of time. I think that it's just micromanaging.
And nobody's going to do that. I mean, we are, us people who listen to these podcasts and broadcast these things, we may do that. But the average person attending is not going to know. No matter what they send them, no matter what the emails are, you know that people don't read that stuff.
Right.
Most people there don't even know how to work the old FastPass, never mind.
Exactly.
I mean, even with them installing, making sure that you come between the times and that you can't go out of those time slots, I'm still recovering from that, you know. I loved, you know, it was like, okay, 11 to 12. Oh, okay, it's 1:30. Oh, or, you know, start banking them for nighttime, you know.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Yes, I will do it, but it's not going to be something I do every trip.
And to me, it's actually a bigger waste of time and money than limited time magic. What else you got, Mike?
All right, last maybe least, the marquee for the Princess Fairy Tale Hall is up. You can see what it looks like, and I am completely unimpressed. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, whatever.
I don't know what it is. I don't really care.
This is a meet and greet in Fantasyland. Fantasyland, your favorite.
Disneyland?
No, Disney World.
Disney World. And it is just so ugly looking. Like, there was a drawing and, you know, everybody thought it was going to look completely different. And mm-hmm. I am just totally unimpressed. Unimpressed by this.
It's the new meet and greet day for the princesses in Fantasyland. It's taking over the spot where Snow White ride, which was a pretty decent ride.
Yes.
Is now gone. And we're going to be able to meet, you know, Princess Tiana and Aurora or whatever. And the marquee is pretty lame.
Well, I've already said my piece on Fantasyland, and obviously you're not going to want to hear my piece on the old Snow White ride. So let's just move along and take a break. And we will come back in a few minutes to go shopping around Animal Kingdom. We'll be back on Radio Harambe in just a second.
Come on, gang. Let's take it home.
If you're like me, you're an Animal Kingdom fan who is just a bit tired of listening to so-called Disney experts who criticize our beloved park for being a, quote, half-day park. Well, it's time to put your frustrations into action by going to the Jumbo Everyone store at Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone and picking up one of our exclusive new Not a Half-Day Park t-shirts. They look great, and we will donate 50% of the profits to our conservation partners. The rest of it will go to helping keep Radio Harambe on the air and JomboEveryone.com on the web. Wear it the next time you visit the parks, or even better, the next time you attend a Disney fan meetup. Go to Zazzle.com/JomboEveryone today and wear your Animal Kingdom pride for all to see. Welcome back to Radio Harambe. I am your host, Dave McBride, coming to you from the Radio Harambe studios. Joining me tonight for our feature discussion here is Safari Mike from an unpronounceable location. Mike?
Sarawak. Sarawak.
And the person who came up with the idea of having a discussion about the great shopping found at Disney's Animal Kingdom is the brains behind the Disney Hipster Kingdom, Jamie. How are you, Jamie?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to have kind of just a quick discussion about the shops. Let me say this first. I believe that all Walt Disney World shopping was once better than it is now.
I agree.
Okay. It has progressively gotten more sort of vanillaed, if that's a word, over the course of years. Some places in Walt Disney World have gotten completely uninteresting when it comes to shopping, but one of the places that has not is the Animal Kingdom. So I think we can all agree that the Animal Kingdom was once a little bit better shopping-wise than it is now, but still one of the best places to go, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I agree.
There are places in the Animal Kingdom that do run-of-the-mill Disney junk, but not as many as there are in other places. There's still a great collection of cool stuff. And we're going to kind of go through the specific stores. We're going to take away any kind of kiosks and that kind of stuff that might be hanging around. and we'll jump through some of them a little quicker, as you'll see as we go on. Before you even walk into the Animal Kingdom is the very first shop outside, which I believe is called the Outpost Shop.
Yeah, and so many people actually walk right by this. It's amazing.
Yes, yes. But it's a general kind of, what you call like a general Animal Kingdom thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Disney, there's Disney stuff, and then, you know, just like Animal Kingdom shirts and things like that.
But if you're looking for, and this is something that doesn't happen a lot on property, if you're looking for a sale, this is the place where you want to go. So they'll have a lot of like t-shirts or coffee mugs that are on sale at that shop. So if I'm trying to pick up like a souvenir for like a bunch of people in the office or something, I usually head over and go there.
Really?
Really.
Wow, I didn't know that. Mike, do you know that?
No.
I don't go in there often. I'm guilty.
I walk right by it. Yeah. So.
It's sort of a good spot, you know, you get off the bus, you're like, you know, we forgot sunblock. And that's a good spot, you know, a good place to do that, or ponchos and things like batteries, whatever.
Yep.
But, yeah, I guess it's a good place for sales too, huh?
Yep. So they'll have last season's Animal Kingdom park shirts, yes, or coffee mugs or keychains or whatever. And I always hit them up in there. Wow. You know, I get all excited when I see the red and white sale sticker.
I'm with you. Great tip. I'm writing that one down. As we go through the turnstiles and up into Discovery Island, we come to sort of the main part. I would kind of compare these two to sort of the Main Street Emporium style area of the Animal Kingdom. The first one is the Disney Outfitters. Yep. It's on your left as you enter the park. There's one on each side of the trail here. And the one on the left, if you're looking at the Tree of Life, it's on the left. And tell us a little bit about the Disney Outfitters.
So to me, this one, I always go to the right. Mm-hmm. So this isn't my, it's probably one of my least favorite stores to go in. I don't know. To me, there's not a lot of option. This is more of your typical find anywhere throughout the whole park kind of store. So I don't think I've ever, or maybe when the kids were younger, I've bought something in here. But very, very rarely do I buy something. The only thing that I've seen a lot of people buy there are the wind chimes. They do have a good selection of the wooden wind chimes.
Yeah.
We have one. I love them. They remind me of Animal Kingdom all the time. If you are a Disney fan, you have to buy one of these wind chimes, but they have a really good selection there.
Isn't this also the spot where the pin kiosk is in front of it?
Yeah. I know that there is. I'm not a huge pin person, so I kind of always overlook them, but there is a big a pin display over there.
Cool. Across the path is where we all prefer to go. It's the Island Mercantile. Beautifully well appointed. It's meant to look like an import company, and it also has some great little, I mean, all these shops have this, but this one in particular has some really impressive details and even thematic stuff going on all throughout the shop. It is, you get all your Animal Kingdom stuff there. Mike, talk a little bit about the theme.
Yeah, it's supposed to be where, you know, there's a bunch of crates and things. So, like, it's sort of giving you the impression of, you know, stuff's being shipped here and dumped off. So they have, like, these crates that reference faraway places where, you know, all this stuff is supposed to be being brought in. Unfortunately, the items are, you know, are also often typical, not as typical as Disney Outfitters. You get a little bit better selection here. Mm-hmm. You do actually have a fairly good selection of pins too, if that's your thing. Yep. Inside, not outside, but actually inside. But you know, it's a pretty good store. But that's generally the theme.
Jamie, isn't there also like a corner of this store that is kind of an Art of Disney thing where we have like a some paintings and things like that? Am I thinking of the right spot?
Is it this one? I thought it was the other one that has it.
I know there's one of the stores is a little corner that has, and there's even some hand painted stuff that's done. Some of the artists out in Africa, they'll sell it in one of these two stores. But what else do you find in the Mercantile?
over there, you usually, this is where you're going to find a lot of like the kitchen stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You'll have your giraffe spoons and your aprons. And throughout both of these two stores that we just talked about, you'll also find your beaded animals. If you're talking about their big ones, small ones, they have very expensive. I swear, I don't know why I let my daughter start collecting them, but they're beaded animals and they're handmade and they are just really cool looking. We have, I think the most expensive one she has is the giraffe, and we probably spent $70 on that.
Really?
Yeah, $70.
I gotta check this out.
Yeah, you got to bring the grandparents so that they like pay for one each time. That's what you got to do. But the little corner that you're talking about is kind of cool because there are a lot of great little baskets that you can purchase.
Uh-huh.
We've gotten a few things that are from that store that you'll actually, you know, you'll see in my house and you wouldn't even know that it's from, you know, a Disney park. And I think those are the cool things. Like, you have to be a really Disney nerd to come over here and go, oh wait, I know exactly where you got that. Those are my prize kind of gifts or things that I'm shopping for, you know.
Mike, on the shopping page of jomboeveryone.com, whoever wrote that up, and it wasn't me, called this the sort of mouse gear of the animal kingdom.
I did that. Yeah, this is where you do get. I'm almost positive this is where the painting. You see these little paintings, these little $25 paintings that show animals, and you get them a lot at the Animal Kingdom Lodge stores too. And this is where you can get them here. Pictures of the safari and the savannah and all that kind of stuff. It's a fun store to shop in. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, Mouse Gear is like my favorite. You know, this type of store, but this is pretty good.
And you can also get your Mickey ears, which I always thought was weird. Like, I know that they have like animal print ones, but how many are selling every single day that people are actually going in and they're buying Mickey ears in Animal Kingdom? Like, I would love to know those stats.
Wouldn't be there if it wasn't making a profit.
Yeah, I guess so. Or maybe they feel obligated that they have to have one in every single park.
Oh, no, not anymore. I don't think so. It's got to be turning some money over. Now, Creature Comforts.
Yep.
Describe to me where that is in relation to. Describe to the folks where that is in relation to these other two. Because isn't it connected?
It's not connected. You do get to go outside. So it's definitely outside. But this one is more kids themed.
This is why I have never been in it. Or if I have, maybe once or twice.
You know, and this is another place. Like, you know, they have DVD in there. Who's buying a DVD on vacation in 90-degree weather? Like, I just...
For full price.
Yeah. Why would you go in there? I mean, I understand the plush. I understand all your, you know, Disney Polly Pockets, which to me in the Animal Kingdom, I think they should have like more Animal Kingdom themed Polly Pockets. Like, why can't you have Snow White with a different outfit on? Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
Yeah. Give her, like, you know, some sort of zookeeper's outfit, you know?
Ooh, I like that. I might buy that.
I don't like the way you said that, Mike.
I remember my daughter Megan used to enjoy the Polly Pocket stuff, you know, a few years ago. She's a little bit older for it now, but yeah, that would be a great idea.
You guys go in this store a lot, Mike?
You know, this is, if my memory, I believe this is the one that gets you, that's after Pete Safari, before you get over to Africa.
Yes,
ladybug lights in front of it, which are really cool lights, actually. A lot of people stop and take pictures in front of it.
Yeah,
we'll walk through it, but, you know, I don't remember the last time I bought something there. To be honest, you know, I'll have to tell you, my daughter, last trip, or maybe with the trip before that, it was either August or January. She was really into those pressed pennies, especially from Animal Kingdom. So we basically went through every store that trip looking for, because that's often where they'll keep the pressed pennies, is in the store. Each store pretty much had one or two of them. So, other than that, I'm not sure what the last time I ever bought anything in there was.
Yeah, it's a lot of Barbie dolls. It's a lot of stuffed animals. The movies, again, you're ridiculous if you walk in there and, you know, you're buying, you know, $30 for a movie that came out 15 years ago. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You can go on your smartphone, order it on Amazon. It'll be in your house by the time you get home.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. So you keep going. We're going into Africa now to my little spot for shopping. The two, what I think are the best one, there are two, but these are definitely connected. The Mombasa Marketplace and Ziwani Traders. Mombasa is actually the if you walk in from the side facing the Tusker House, and mm-hmm. Ziwani Traders is if you walk in from the side facing the train to Rafiki's or the Pangani. They are essentially the same building, however, a little bit different in theming and certainly very different in what they have. The Mombasa is, this is the most African of the stores. Again, it was once a little bit better, but this is one of the places that has really kind of maintained that selection and that theme. Even through the sort of, you know, vanillifying of Disney stuff.
Yeah, art, they sell masks, they sell, I think they even still sell wine, if my memory serves. African wine.
Yep, they do.
Yeah, so, you know, we bought some masks that are, I think it's a giraffe and a zebra that are sitting in our bathroom wall from this store.
This is by far probably in this park, my favorite store to go into, because they also have a lot of jewelry. We also find a lot of unique items. Again, those non-Disney, Mickey's not on every single thing kind of thing, but a lot of really cool jewelry is in this store. I love this store.
And Ziwani.
And I spend a lot of time in this store, especially.
Me too.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time in the store because half of the time I'm in here shopping while people are going to the bathroom right next door. So I spend a lot of time here.
And Ziwani Traders, Mike, is right next door. That's kind of just sort of like a little more for kids.
Yeah, that's pretty much for kids. You know, but they'll sell neat, you know, safari books and different plush and little figures of different African animals and stuff like that. So it's even unique for children as well.
Yep. They play with you a lot in there. The cast members in that store are so awesome. They always are doing something, and I think it's great. I mean, they do a lot of interaction with the kids that walk in.
Yeah, and another great thing they have there is they have the guy that carves figures outside, right outside. You can watch them.
Yeah.
They are carving different African figures too, so it's another added bonus to this store.
I've got a couple of those. I got a couple of things. Like I have one on a necklace that's gorgeous. The guy makes it right there.
Yeah, it's cool.
If we go past Mike's favorite thing in the park, Divine, and head towards Asia.
Divine's not there anymore. Come on now.
Yeah, but it'll always be there in your heart, Mike. We go to Asia where we have another great collection of stuff. Let's talk about the one over by Cali River Rapids, which is called Mandala Gifts. Mm-hmm. I think it's right at the exit of Cali there.
Yeah, it's a very small store. Mm-hmm. I like it because, again, I bought my wine at that store, so that was where I actually got it from. And to me, this is where everybody goes when they get off of the ride, because they now are soaking wet. So you have a lot of like very upset parents that are now in December. Their entire family of four is soaking wet, and now they spent $230 to like clothe them. You know, they have underwear in that store. Underwear.
The flip-flops are my favorite, though. Streams of flip-flops for people.
No, they have underwear.
The merchandising guys know what they're doing, that's for sure.
Yep.
Over by Everest, the Expedition Everest shop. And the reason why I mentioned this one is because, you know, there are a lot of, you know, everybody knows you empty out into a gift shop, you know, in most of these rides. And this is one of my favorite in all of Disney World because it's called the Circazong Bazaar. It's right outside of the Expedition Everest exit. It has your standard Everest stuff. But what I like about it is that it also has, if you look hard enough, or at least the last time I was there, it also has a neat little collection of books on people who've actually explored Everest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, climbed Everest. And I love that about it.
I love the theming inside. There's so many cool things to like look at inside of that store that even if you're not buying something, it's worth going in and not just running through to get to somewhere else.
Right.
There's so many things on the walls.
They also have a really nice collection of attraction specific t-shirts.
Yep. Good point.
You know, I have one with the flying yak on it, which is taken directly from a poster that's hanging around over there. It's a lot of fun to walk around that store and as you said, look at the decor and things like that.
I like the Mountain Rescue Team t-shirts or whatever it says. Those are cool. And you would never know it. You would never think it, but the Yak and Yeti has a great little store.
Yeah, yes. My son loves this one because they have all those. This is the one that has all the little action figures of samurai and dragons and ninja and things like that. And he loves that. He loves. We have quite a few of them hanging around somewhere. You know, they also have Asian flared kind of like kimonos and t-shirts and things like that too.
Tea sets.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, I mean, Yak and Yeti, when you go in, they actually have pretty cool coffee cups. But after I went into the store, I'm like, I don't understand why they don't have more like authentic tea sets. Like when you order coffee, I don't know. I have issues with that restaurant anyway. But I really like the store so much better than I like the restaurant.
Now, am I missing anything in Asia or do I have them all?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, you got them.
Okay, so let's go to Safari Mike's store of choice, and that is Chester and Hester's Dinosaur Treasures. We've all heard him talk about this one many, many times. So we'll let you begin, Mike, to wax poetic on Chester and Hester's Dinosaur Treasures.
This is my favorite store, not just because, we just talked about this last episode, really.
Yes.
You know, there are not too many stores that have such a rich backstory. Right. I mean, a lot of stores have themes, a lot of stores, you know, whatever. But this one has it tells a story, this store. And I just love that you can walk around and look at the pictures of Chester and Hester and their dollar bill and, you know, see how they used, old license plates as decoration. It's just a lot of fun to walk around that store. But, you know, I went on and on about it last episode, so I'll let you guys talk about it this time.
Well, this is one of the ones that used to be my favorite, and especially the train set. I love the train set. It's so awesome. You know, every kid needs to go in there just to look up on the ceiling and see the train set that goes around. And I know for a while they kept switching. They used to have one of the build your own, Mr. Potato Head in there, switching that out. But they did a renovation in that store a few years back now, and to me, it became very commercialized. Like, it lost its feel in that store. And now there's a lot of food items in there. They bought the bakery portion in there. So I used to love going in there. We always used to find unique toys that we couldn't find anywhere else. And after they did that refurb, it was, I still go in, don't get me wrong, and I still love it, just not as dearly as I once did.
Yeah, so. It's not the same. I mean, when we were there last time, there would be a wall of Star Wars toys that really doesn't belong there. There's Toy Story toys that don't belong there.
Right.
You know, usually bust out whatever. I'm sure they got Halloween stuff there now, for example. They have kind of gone the wrong way a little bit with this store. I still love all the decor and, you know, little things on the wall and stuff like that. But the merchandise itself is probably... Well, it's certainly not as good as it used to be.
I feel like I'm in a 5 and below when I go in that store now. That's what I feel like, except everything is much more expensive than $5. But that's the kind of feel I get. Like, I feel like it's all like items that they don't know what to do with. So let's just throw it in this store. Yeah. So it's gone downhill for me. But I still love going out. And there's that big dinosaur, not big, but there's that dinosaur that's outside that's kind of like mosaic. Right. It's right outside of the store. And so many people just pass right by it. And I love taking pictures over there. I mean, it's definitely worth getting a couple of pictures of the family of.
And Mike, if you're concerned about Star Wars toys coming into stores, just hold on to that one.
Yeah, I mean,
you're about to get overwhelmed with them.
Yeah, well, yeah. The store itself, I agree with Jamie 100% that the merchandise used to be far better than it is now. But still, the decoration, the storytelling of the decor itself is just a lot of fun to walk around and look at.
Yep.
And I believe we're come to our final one, which is the Dino Institute gift shop. Now, this is, again, you empty out of the ride into a gift shop where you can buy, just like in the Everest ride shop, you can buy your pictures of you on the ride if that's something you like to have. And this is there are also some dinosaur toys and stuff in here, a little more educational bend to the dinosaur toys than normal. What do we think about this place?
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cute little store. I love how they have so much merchandise of dinosaurs in there. So I know that they used to have a lot of character plush.
Jamie, we're losing you.
But they did a great job with keeping with the dinosaur theme, like, completely. Oh, are you?
Yeah, we got you now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. They did a great job keeping the dinosaur stuff up front and kind of pushing the character, Disney character plush, to the back of the store. Mm. So I think it's really cool. I mean, you get your funny dinosaur t-shirts that you get to have. Like, I know my daughter Callie, she bought one. I love vegetarians, you know, like that kind of thing. I know it's funny, stupid little shirts like that, but I think it's a really cute store. I really do.
Yeah. I like it too.
Yeah, they do a good job of being, you know, in terms of, again, we're talking about these stores that you have to walk out of after you get off the ride. But at least this one has good ride-specific toys and ride-specific T-shirts. We were talking about this on the Hipsters podcast when we reviewed Dinosaur, that they have the dinosaur toys. They have, they're actually modeled after the figures that you see in the ride itself. You can get it at Carnotaurus and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly.
Well, I believe that gets us to the end.
Yes.
We've hit all the shops.
But if I was to build another store,
yes,
where would I build it? And my answer is 100% in Africa. I don't know where, but I think the ones that are in Africa are so awesome. They're slamming. I would visit those two stores in Africa if they were up here. Like,
yeah,
that's how good of a store it is. It makes me want to shop. As a professional shopper, I would go and shop at those two stores. I would fly down there and shop at those two stores.
Now, so you would say that those are the two that you would have on your must-do list?
Yes, definitely must-do list. And that would be the land that I would pick that needs at least one more store.
Mike?
That's a tough one. Boy, that is.
I mean, I know you're pining away for the Avatar gift shop. We know that. So besides that,
maybe somebody will actually buy an Avatar action figure now, since nobody bought them when the movie was out.
You're going to buy one. I'm going to see you with one.
What would I put? Oh,
I hope they do meet and greets with Big Blue Guy so I can take your picture with him.
I do a meet and greet.
Yes.
Oh, but that's not weird. Wait a second.
That'd be
so
great.
Let me get this straight.
Be great.
So,
be great.
A character, a guy in a character.
No. I only like it because I like the idea of Mike posing with the blue guy.
Okay. Or blue girl.
Or blue girl. Could be both. Actor. Yeah, we could go either one. Right. It could be either one. Whichever Mike chooses, he can pick. It's totally up to him.
So you want me to design a store? Is that what you're asking me to do?
Well, where would you put one?
And where do you think? One.
Yeah.
If I had to add another one, boy, that's so tough. I think of, and this is, I'm doing this just to annoy Dave. If you look at Hong Kong Disneyland in Mystic Manor.
Oh, God.
They have a store there, which is called, I think, the Artifact Shop. Which is like a lot of like eclectic kind of things that, you know, the adventurers have gathered over time. That would be great somewhere. I'm just trying to figure out where. Would you put it in Anandapur? Would you put it on Discovery Island? I guess Discovery Island would be the best. Maybe almost like an island mercantile, but a real island mercantile where you do have stuff from all across the world, like obscure places throughout the world. That would be
cool.
Yeah.
You threw me a curveball, Jamie. I didn't know you were going to do that.
Yeah.
I would say there needs to be something built that is almost entirely animal-focused. A place where you can buy, animal, not just plush and not just art, but great photographs, great T-shirts with this kind of animal on it, or books. Something that's like dedicated specifically towards conservation, and you know, having kids and adults, please. This is about everybody here. Learning everything there is to know about the animals and getting a little bit more. And I wish they would bring back a field guide for kids and parents as well, like a real honest to goodness book, which they used to sell, about the animals in the animal kingdom. That's what I would do. I don't know where I'd put it, but I'd like to see some more kind of animal, you know, specific.
Put it Rafiki's.
I was just going to say that'd Rafiki be would be perfect.
Yeah, they have that. They have that. It's not really a shop. It's more than a kiosk though. It's sort of like this outdoor that sells some T-shirts. It sells some, you know, some plush of unusual animals and stuff like that. It's a little bit.
Yeah.
But not full-fledged like what you're talking about. But they would fit out there in Rafiki somewhere. They would have to build like a nice little store, but they could do it.
Jamie, so right. if you had to spend, if you could only go to one, it would be Mombasa?
Yes, 100%.
And Mike?
I just like walking around Chester and Hester's. I'd have to pick that one.
I'm going to go with Mombasa. That's
nice.
That's definitely how I would feel.
Mombasa is definitely my second favorite, without any doubt.
Yeah. All right, guys.
There's wine and jewelry.
What?
You can't go wrong. And it's right next to
what
the
a combination.
Come on.
I've met Jamie a few times, and I can tell you right now that is like her dream shop.
Wine and jewelry?
Wine, jewelry, and let me hold your wallet while you go to the bathroom. And there's a bar across the street.
What could go wrong?
Seriously.
You don't like that bar, though.
I hate that bar.
I'm sorry. What did she just say?
She doesn't like the Dawa bar.
Okay, well.
That's another episode.
Now she's gone way too far. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Jamie, we can find you on Twitter at, say this because I'm bad, it's JK, right?
Yep, JK Disney Hip.
All right. And you can listen to their show, The Disney Hipsters, but go on iTunes, find in The Disney Hipsters. They've got two of them now. So you could certainly get all the hipsters you could ever possibly need. Thanks again for listening to Radio Harambe. Let me just remind you, for more information on the Animal Kingdom, visit us at jomboeveryone.com. You'll find everything you need to know about the Animal Kingdom there. We got attraction, dining reviews, photos, all sorts of stuff. You can follow me, Dave, at Radio Harambe. You can follow Safari Mike on Twitter also at jomboeveryone. He is our Twitter star. We're also on Facebook and YouTube. Don't forget about our store we have, Zazzle.com/JomboEveryone, where you can get your Not a Half Day Park t-shirts. They look great, and 50% of the profits that we get from them will go right to conservation. We invite you to subscribe to the show on iTunes, difficult thing to say, I guess, tonight, and please rate and review us there, as it really helps get the word out for us. We're also available on Stitcher and Podbean. So for Jamie of the Disney Hipsters and Safari Mike, I am Dave McBride. Kwaharini, go well, and thank you for listening to Radio Harambe.
Kwaharini.
Kwaku au famenapo na ungo na ungo.